This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelius Prong speaking. If the Bible is clear about anything, it is that the time to repent of our sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is right now. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come. Yet so many people, when they are confronted with the gospel and the claims of Christ, think that they need not decide right away, but that it is possible to make up their minds at some later time. Felix was such a man. When Paul called him to repentance and pressed upon him the claims of Christ, he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Let me give you the background to this sad story, which is recorded in Acts 24. In this chapter, we are introduced to Felix and Drusilla. Felix was governor of Judea. Although of very humble origin, he had been a slave, Felix had somehow become the favorite of the court at Rome, and eventually he had been promoted to this rather important position. He was known to be a very cruel, selfish, and immoral man. A first century playboy, you might say. Drusilla was a princess of Jewish blood, a granddaughter of Herod the Great, and daughter of Herod Agrippa. She was about 17 at the time. After a brief marriage to the king of Emesa, she had been lured away from her husband by the unscrupulous Felix, becoming his common law wife or mistress. Drusilla was as beautiful as corrupt, and already she had a reputation for being lewd and vulgar. Here were two people who feared neither God nor man, people who lived only for the pleasures of sin. Yet they get an opportunity to hear the gospel. One day, a detachment of guards on horseback came galloping into Caesarea. In their custody was a man whose name was Paul, a Jew, whom the Roman authorities had rescued out of the hands of his fellow countrymen, who would otherwise have lynched him. Why? What had Paul done? Well, he had preached the gospel of Christ in Jerusalem, and this had caused a tremendous disturbance. To ensure his safety, the Roman captain had wisely decided to send Paul to the governor Felix in Caesarea. But a few days later, the Jews had also come to Caesarea to accuse Paul before Felix. The governor had not been very impressed by Paul's accusers. Especially after the prisoner's brilliant defense, Felix was sure that the charges against him were exaggerated, if not completely false. Yet he had not released Paul, but kept him in bonds to await further evidence from Jerusalem. Felix could not forget the episode, however. This Paul fascinated him. He wanted to find out more about him and the cause he stood for. So a few days later, he sent for the prisoner for a private interview. His wife or his consort, Drusilla, was at his side. Thus, Paul suddenly received a unique opportunity to witness to the governor and his wife. We do not know the exact contents of the message Paul delivered that day. It only says that he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Of course, the apostle must have said more than that. We know from his letters that his sermons always dealt with man's ruin through the fall and man's restoration by the death and resurrection of Christ. He would no doubt have included also here a call to repentance and faith. When Luke states that Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, he probably means that this was the application of the sermon, an application geared to Felix and Drusilla's needs. Felix was not a righteous man at all. He was most unrighteous, both in his personal life and in his life as in his official capacity as governor, and the apostle does not hesitate to point this out to him. Then he spoke of temperance or self-control. Now of this virtue, Felix did not know much either. He was not a man who had learned to subdue his lusts, as some other pagans had. He was, as I said, a playboy, and the best evidence of his lack of self-control was the presence at his side of Drusilla. Paul must have reminded both of them that adulterers, fornicators, and other unclean persons have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Felix and Drusilla hear the truth about themselves, perhaps for the first time in their lives. Paul warns them against the judgment to come, a judgment which can mean only perdition for them. What will those two sinners do with this sermon? We know the answer as far as Felix is concerned. It says, "And Felix trembled." We don't read this of Drusilla. Did she remain indifferent under Paul's solemn message? That is quite possible, and it still happens very often. Two people, for example a man and his wife, may sit under the same preaching in church. The one is suddenly moved by something the preacher has said. The other stays as cold and unaffected as ever. So it may have been here too. While Felix trembled, Drusilla may well have smiled and wondered how her man could be so impressed by this follower of the Nazarene. But Felix can't help it. The word of God has entered his conscience, and for a moment he sees his life in the light of God's holiness, and he dreads the idea of having to appear before his judge. Felix trembles. In a way, you can say Felix had a blessing under Paul's sermon. A blessing, you say? Yes, to fear and tremble under the proclamation of the word of the living God, that is a blessing. For it may be the beginning of something good. Far better it is to react this way than to stifle a yawn or to daydream as so many churchgoers do every Sunday. Felix trembles. And what else does he do? Let's read what it says here. Felix trembled and fell on his knees and cried, "What must I do to be saved?" Is that what it says? I wish that were true. Then there would have been hope for poor Felix. But that is not at all what the Bible says. Felix's fear leads to nothing. The fear of the jailer led to his repentance, but the fear of Felix ended in a pretext, an excuse, a lamentable excuse. "Go thy way for this time," he said, "and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Felix was not rude, but rather polite. "Paul," he says, "I appreciated your message, but I haven't got time just now to discuss it with you. Maybe tomorrow, or some other time, which will suit me better. I'll let you know." And with this, Paul was dismissed, and guards came to take him back to his cell. That was Felix's reaction to Paul's sermon on righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. "Go thy way for this time, maybe later, tomorrow, next week, some other time, but not now." I'm sure that when Felix said this, there was laughter in hell. Yes, Satan was happy with this response of the Roman governor, and he is still mighty pleased whenever he hears people say this. Maybe you have said the same thing that Felix said when you heard the gospel. Remember that time when the message came so close to your conscience, too close for comfort, when your sins were clearly set before you in all their ugly reality? And when the call came to repent and the invitation to believe in Christ, what was your response? The same as Felix? "Tomorrow? Not now?" Oh, how Satan loves to hear you say that, because then he knows that you are still safely in his fold. Satan never lost a victim yet who said, "Tomorrow." The only people he ever lost to Christ are those who respond to the gospel today. How dangerous, then, to say what Felix said to Paul. Maybe you are like him in this respect also. You do not openly reject Christ. You don't say no to him just like that, but you say, "Lord, I'll repent, but not just yet. I need some time to think. I fully intend to make work of it, but not today. Just have a little patience with me. I first want to get out of my teens. Just a few more years and I'll settle down, and then I will have more time for religion." Others may say something like this: "I first want to raise my kids. When they are out of school and out of the house, then I can relax and spend more time reading the Bible and going to church." And so it goes, always procrastinating until it is too late. Felix let his opportunity go by that day, and he never had another one. Felix made three fatal mistakes, and each of them is still being made every day. First, he said, "See you next time, Paul," while he could not know that there ever would be such a time. Secondly, he said, "I will hear you again," as if he could manipulate God's grace. I mean, even if there would be a next time, how does Felix know that God will speak to his conscience again? In the third place, he failed to realize that sin always grows. Sin is a process. Sin digs itself into the heart deeper and deeper, like a rusty nail in a board. Every day it gets harder to pull it out. Each of these three mistakes are still being made also by many church people today. Maybe there is someone right now who feels the claims of Christ upon him, and yet he cannot make up his mind. Is that how it is with you? Do you also say, next time? But how do you know that there will be a next time? You may be dead and buried before next Sunday. But even if there is a next time, how do you know that the Holy Spirit will speak to you again? Maybe the sermon won't touch you at all next time. Felix lived to see a next time. In fact, he had many of them. In verse 26, I read that after his first interview with Paul, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But I do not read that he trembled again, do you? Why not? Because he had hardened himself. After every talk with Paul, he became a little harder. Although Paul must have warned him again and again, Felix no longer cared about his soul. He was after money instead. He tried to get Paul to bribe him into letting him go. That was his final answer to Paul's message of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix never trembled again until he too died and found himself standing before God, and there he has trembled as never before, we may be sure. What a warning this is to all of us, not to trifle with the gospel when it is preached to us. Do not put off the issue. Do not say next time. Elijah already said, how long will you halt between two opinions? It has to come to a choice in your life, for or against God, for or against a holy life, according to God's commandments. Felix knew this. Felix was not like so many people today who think that they can have the best of both worlds, a life of sin here and heaven afterwards. He knew it was either indulging in the lusts of the flesh or crucifying the flesh, and those are still the only alternatives today. Do these things make you tremble? Must you admit that your life has been a sinful one, and do you therefore fear the judgment to come? Go with your fears to Christ and ask him to be your Savior. Oh, he will understand your fears. He knows what it means to tremble. See him in Gethsemane, wrestling with the powers of darkness. In the garden, Jesus is trembling as no man trembled before or since. He trembles so much that his sweat becomes like drops of blood. And why does Jesus tremble like this? Because he is about to experience the wrath of God against sin. Whose sin? His own? No, he was innocent. But it is your sin and mine, which he has taken upon himself. He experiences God's holy anger against your sin in order that you will never have to go through the same ordeal he went through. Oh, sinner, trust in this Savior. Commit yourself to him and his grace and mercy. He is able and willing to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Felix could have been saved by Christ, but he willfully rejected the only Savior. What about you? Amen.